Well, thank the Lord to be here today, and thank the Lord for those songs. Thank the Lord for His faithfulness to us. We want to look to the Lord in prayer before we get started. Dear God, we thank You for the opportunity we have. We thank You for the way You've already fed our souls this morning. Lord, I believe there's some people who came here this morning with a heart to worship You, and God, You were able to use it. We thank You for that, Lord, and we pray You'll bless our time now as we open Your Word. You will guide by Your Spirit. You will lead and guide in everything that's said and done. You will help us to receive, to consider the words that You are giving to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I want to write title on the board here. And our title today is What We Have in Jesus. What we have in Jesus. You know, I find times in my life where I'm in situations that I've been in for a while, and I see someone else come along who's new to the situation, and you see an excitement and a joy there. And why is that? That it checks me a little bit. It makes me go, well, I'm in the same place they are. Now, sometimes it's because people don't really understand maybe what the situation, but a lot of times we're in places and we've kind of got so just used to things that we've forgotten what we have. We've forgotten whether it's our job or it's just life or it's Jesus, most importantly. We kind of forget. And then somebody comes along, it's new, and they're new to it, and you see a joy, you're like, well, that's what I've got. I'm in that same situation, so what is it that's missing here? Well, a lot of times it's just because we haven't really been thinking about what we have. We've just been doing the day-to-day so much that we don't consider what we really have, especially in Jesus. So today, that's the burden the Lord has given me. I'm going to read a lot of songs. Well, some songs. I guess a lot is kind of a... I'll read more than I normally do during the message if it goes the way the Lord has laid it on my heart. But I want you to listen to the words. As we read these words and as we read verses that we're going to read, I want you not to, you know, with the songs, obviously we sing them. I'm not going to read a song today that you've not sung. I believe everybody here, Mackenzie included, has sung these songs. All right, so we know these songs. I'm not reading to give you something new. I'm reading so that you'll look at these words and you'll think about them while we read them. And the same way with the verses. Now, the Lord may have something for me to expound, but maybe you're not like this, but a lot of times in church, somebody brings a message and they start bringing out verses, and I'll turn to the verses, but I may be waiting almost to hear what they're going to expound on those verses. And there may be some things expounded, but I want you to look at the verse. Look at the Word of God and let it sink deep in your heart this morning. That's the burden I have from the Lord today and what we're doing. So I wanted to share that with you before we got started. So let's turn over to Psalm 170 in our hymnal. Incidentally, the name of this song is... Can anybody tell me what the name of the song is? What I Found in Jesus. All right. So the very core of the message today is to remind you what you have in Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, this is what you can have in Him. And I'm not going to read all the verses. You could do that. I encourage you to do that. It's not a bad thing every once in a while in your devotions to just sit here and let the Lord bring some songs to your mind and look at the words that you sing every Sunday and think about what they're saying and what they mean to our hearts. But let's read the second verse of this song. Once I roamed in sinful darkness. Amen. I am so thankful that that's a once in my life. Amen. That that's not something that the Lord's left me in, but He's delivered me from. And I am so thankful for that this morning. Once I roamed in sinful darkness over mountain, hill, and plain, seeking everywhere for rest and finding none. Now, I don't know how deep you were in sin, but if you spend some time there, and we all do, you know what this verse is talking about to some degree. I remember looking Lord, I mean, there's a lot of things messed up in my life, but most of all, I just want some rest. I want to be able to rest, Lord. I want peace in my life. And I remember searching over mountain, hill, and plain, trying to figure out a way to get that rest. And yet it says, over mountain, hill, and plain, seeking everywhere for rest and finding none. Yes, my search for satisfaction. Like, I'm not talking about a momentary thing. I'm talking about, Lord, I want some rest. I want something deep in my soul where all this searching is gone, where I am at peace and my soul is satisfied. I remember trying to figure out how to fit in here or fit in there somewhere. I was hoping that somehow it would meet that need in my soul. And, you know, when I found the Lord, I was like, well, this is it. I mean, I hope I fit in wherever I go, but if I don't, that's fine, because I found what met the need of my soul. And I don't have a need anymore. I can just enjoy life that he's given to me. And so it says, searching everywhere for rest and finding none. Yes, my search for satisfaction while in sin was all in vain. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to raise my hand. But I've found it. In God's well-beloved Son, I have found it. I am not making it up this morning. I've not got my mind behind some kind of mantra that I want to try to get everybody behind this morning, which I, like Paul said, I would that everybody was like me. Not really like me, but had this peace in their heart. I would. But I just want you to know, I found it. Praise God. I found it in Jesus. I found the answer to that hole in my heart. And I, you know what, I still can't explain it all to you except to tell you that the Lord did it, Amen. That he did it. Third verse says, long in sin I sought for pleasure, something that would satisfy, something that would quench the thirsting of my soul. But I found that sin's dominion not I needed could supply. Then I turned to Jesus and he made me whole. Thank the Lord. Praise now, we've got another song here, song number 113. These are the songs we sing every Sunday. Maybe not these particular, but they're ones we've sung Sunday after Sunday. All right, we're going to read the first and the third verse out of this one. It says, I am satisfied in Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. I'm satisfied in Jesus. What a sweet soul rest I feel. When life's greatest burden pressed me, he doth all my sorrows heal.
Yes.
You know what? Now I'm back out here facing life again, but I've found what I needed. And there's a song that just came to mind. I found what I needed for so long. I found it. And I go back out in life and I face the burdens and I face the sorrows and I walk through those places, but there's somebody healing my heart in the midst of them. Somebody helping me to the very core. What is my need? What is the need? You know, we were talking a little bit along those lines this morning in Sunday school, and I thought particularly about the story of Elijah. All right? And I thought, what do you think would have happened if one more drop of water had fallen in that trench? Would there have been a wet spot? What if two more drops? What if somebody dumped a bucket over? They had a bucket sitting on the side and accidentally dumped a bucket over. What do you think would have happened to that water? Is there a point where God can't do it?
No.
How much you want to pour out there? You know, the gods of this world can't even get started. They were leaping and cutting and doing all kinds of stuff, trying to get their God to respond, and there wasn't even they couldn't even get started. Our God can't stop. I mean, he can, but he doesn't. There's no end. How much more water you want to put in the trench? How much more water do you think this world can bring you? Lord's got it. He's able to do above and beyond what we can think or imagine, and it's true. It's absolutely true. I am satisfied, Jesus. What a sweet soul rest I feel when life's greatest burdens press me. He doth all my sorrows heal. Third verse, I am satisfied about 72%. I am satisfied completely.
Yes.
completely in the Lord. He's not just a better option. He's the best. He's beyond the best.
Yes.
And His love supremely blessed, since His arms are underneath me, soul and body are at rest. Oh, thank the Lord. Song, in our hymnal here, song 97. All right, and we're going to read the first three verses here. All this world, its wealth and honor, cannot sate the human breast. It can't satisfy the human breast, is what that word means. But when filled with God our Father, every want is fully blessed. All my soul can wish forever, I do find in Christ replete. That means I find it all there. I find it well offered and well satisfied in Christ. Every blessing and the giver in my peaceful bosom meet. Is thy life bereft of comfort and thy heart a cheerless spot? Say not Christ is in thy desert, for we can believe it not. Why? Because Christ satisfies. This morning, if I'm sitting here, I want to say this the right way, because we find in life that we face moments of struggle, but what we find is the Lord will meet us in those moments and help us. And that's what I'm saying. If you're living a life where God doesn't meet your need, dig deeper. Get it out of the way. Whatever it is that's between you and God, whatever it is that's stopping that, get it out of the way. Because the Lord will meet your need in every situation.
Thank the Lord.
He's not going to put up roadblocks. I want to say this so carefully. Life puts up roadblocks. Satan puts up roadblocks. God tears them down if we let Him do it. If we're willing to let Him do it. If we want to kind of say, see this roadblock? See what you let come in my life, God? And we just keep our hands right around it. Lord said, well, let me have it. Let me show you what I can do with it. If you really want it taken away, God can do it. But you got to let Him do it. You can't just keep holding on to it saying, this is why. This is why I'm struggling, Lord. And I was not speaking as sinner and saint. This morning, you got to let go of the roadblocks. Amen. Whatever the situation is in your life, you're going to have to say, Lord, it's there. And step away from it and say, Lord, would you do something with this? You know I need you to. You know I need help. God, please, do what you will with it. Show me, Lord, show me the pathway I have to climb. Because I want this out of the way. You know, sometimes we want it out of the way, but we don't want to do what's necessary. The Lord can remove it. It may take some things on your part, being willing to, maybe it's humble down, maybe it's meekness, maybe it's determination. Maybe it's, and when I say determination, it's like, whatever it takes, I want this out of the way in my life, God. So Lord, just show me. What is it? But the Lord will do it, and He will show you what's necessary. He will not leave you guessing. If you're guessing, stop. Don't worry about that. But I've got to do something right, or it's not going to happen. No. What you got to do is tell the Lord that you need Him to do this in your life. And then stop guessing. Because when you're guessing, you're not trusting. The Lord will show you whatever He needs to show you. If you'll sincerely just put your heart before Him and seek Him. Lord, help us. Say not Christ is in a desert, for we can believe it not. He talks of being the spring, the well of waters in our life. You know, the word satisfy means to have the desires fully granted. Having the desires fully gratified, made content. Now, this morning, somebody could be sitting in here going, well, that's good news. I want this car, and I want this house, and I want this job. Get them. See if that's really what your soul wants. See if that's really what you're longing after. Because you're going to find out there's still a hole in your life. But The Lord's not bound by our understanding, our pettiness sometimes, quite honestly. He's not bound by that. He doesn't have to talk in those terms. He can speak straight to the soul. And that's what he's doing.
Yes.
You want to be content? The Lord can make you content in him this morning. Jeremiah 3:23. Let's turn over there. It says, truly in vain. And that this word vain here is an emptiness. It's a hopelessness. It's just a sheer, there's not a shred of ability to do what needs to be done. When we see that word, that's what we need to see in the Bible. So truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitudes of mountains. Long in sin I sought for pleasure, seeking everywhere for rest and finding none. And then it talks about roaming over mountain, hill, and plain. There's not a shred of it there.
Amen.
I mean, in the Lord, it says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel, the saving, the deliverance, the peace that we long for. Where is it? It's in the Lord. Where is the Lord? He's, what does it say? Paul says, he did all this that man might seek after him, though he be not far from every single one of us. Where is the Lord? He's right here. Think about the prodigal son. He went all out there and everywhere. His father, everything he needed was right there all the time. He came back to it. Right now, the Lord is right there. He's available to you. If you're willing to turn your heart to him in whatever your situation is, saint or sinner, this morning, if you will turn your heart to the Lord in the midst of the situation you are, he is right there beside you. There is no need to roam. There is no need to search. The Lord is right, is an ever-present help in the need of trouble. The verses just come on about God not being somewhere where we have to go find him. But he's ever present if we're willing to ask him and to truly receive him. All right? It says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, but in our Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Psalms 62. Psalm 62, and we'll read several verses here. Starting the first verse, it says, truly, now, I want us to get a hold of the fact that there is someone writing this psalm, and God's inspired him, but most likely he inspired him from the testimony of his life. From a situation, in this case, from what we understand, this is a psalm that David wrote. So we can say David. And in this situation, he's writing inspired by God, but most likely from experiences that he has had in his life. Okay? And so it says, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. David said, I'm not roaming. I'm not searching. I know I found what I needed so long.
Yes.
And he has my salvation. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit here. I'm going to tell him what I need. And I'm going to wait and see what he will do. It's been a day or so. David, don't you think you ought to search a little bit more maybe for another option? No, in vain is salvation searched for in the hills and the mountains. In the Lord we have all we need. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only... is my rock and my salvation. What does that mean? That means I trust him to supply whatever my need is in life.
Yes.
Whatever I need, the Lord will supply. Now, we talk about this just to clarify what we're saying. He may supply you an opportunity. Or he may supply you with the need. But the Lord will supply. You know, sometimes he gives us the opportunity, in whatever way he does, that there's a part for us to do. Like in the Bible, where some places he said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. You walk out there and see what I will do. And then in other places, he says, go down and fight this way. What's the Lord going to provide us? Is he just going to supply the need, or is he going to supply the opportunity to get what we need in life? Are we willing to wait, hear from the Lord, and follow whatever path he has for us? Lord, help us.
Yes.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. All right? Fifth verse, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. These words are written for you this morning. The Lord inspired them, and this morning he inspired them to my heart to share them for you, for me, this morning to hear them and take them into heart. You know what? Sometimes there's a deeper explanation of them, and sometimes God just wants us to hear what he's saying straight from his word. He trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. All right? Let's look in Psalms 33. Psalms 33 and 12. Blessed is the nation. Blessed is that people. Blessed are those whose God is the Lord. Who is God? He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's also the supplier. If God's going to be your God fully and completely, then he's going to need to be your supplier this morning. You're going to need to trust in him for whatever your needs are in life. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven this morning. He is not far away. He is looking straight down from heaven on you and your life. So what is he looking for? What is it that opens the door of blessing from the Lord? Let's see. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. You know something? My experience is not your experience. And our experience is not the person sitting next to you's experience. But the Lord fashioned all our hearts alike. He did not leave you this morning with something that makes it where you can't receive what you need in life. He fashioned your heart like he fashioned my heart. Okay? And so all of that is the same. And so the Lord looks at our works. The Lord looks at our works. This morning we could take this verse and we can go and try to figure out how we can be the most righteous person we need to be. It's good desire. We need to have that in our hearts. Thinking that that is what's going to make God meet my needs in life. That somehow he's going to meet my needs when I present to him a certain level of righteousness. You know what I mean? Behavior, all these things. Conduct, we need to have a desire, and especially to the children, I say, don't misunderstand me. We need a desire to be righteous this morning. That's what God wants out of our life. But God is looking to see if you're going to do it yourself, or are you going to realize how much you need him to be able to do it?
Yes.
What are you going to do this morning? Are you going to depend upon the Lord for all of your needs, for everything? Recognizing that his power is what supplies everything, even the ability to live pure and holy in this life, still comes from God.
Yes.
And if this morning you go out and you try to present it to God, expecting then you're going to get the blessing somehow, there's just a little bit of adjustment that has to happen before we can really experience the power we need in our life. A complete dependence on God for whatever we need in life. It says, He considereth all their works. So what is that work? That labor to come to a place where, God, I need you. Even in the simplest of things, God, if they're going to be what they need to be in my life, then they're going to be that because you enable me to do it, Lord. I am completely at your mercy. You see how it takes us to that level? And we come to this, we want to really think that somehow I'm going to be able to accomplish something in of myself. I can make sure without having to just trust mercy that I can say God has to let me into his kingdom. We are at his mercy completely. If he does not enable me this morning to live for him, then I will fail. I will fail. I will never make it. But God, by his power, when he sees that I realize that in my life, and I say, Lord, I need you even here, even in this, Lord, have mercy on my soul and help me. God can help you gain the victory, have the peace, have the strength, whatever you need in life, God can enable you to do it. He says, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by a multitude of hosts. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. There's not something we have that can meet this need. All right? Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, that hope in his mercy. I don't think we should pass this word without explaining a little more what this means so that we leave here with a clear understanding. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. The devils tremble, and it doesn't accomplish anything for them. What the Lord's talking about this morning is an understanding of how much we stand completely at his mercy. That's the fear we need to have, that respect that doesn't say, well, it's me and God. Not Joseph on the plains, you know, before the battle of Jericho. Who are you? Are you for us or them? Mm-mm. No, I'm not. Y'all know me, however to relate this, but it applies right here. The angel said, neither. I'm not for you or for them. I come as a captain of the Lord's army, host of his host. You take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. This morning, take off your shoes. If you understand what I mean, stop. Let it be you and God getting this done. And realize how much it's God. You are allowing God to do what he desires to do in your life. By his mercy, by his grace, by his power through you, there is nothing that he cannot accomplish. We used that verse in Sunday school. It said, and I won't get it quite right. Y'all can go back there. It's in Ephesians, I believe. But to the power that worketh in you exceedingly beyond. And I won't say any more of it, but that's the core of what it says. The power that worketh in you exceedingly beyond what we can imagine, what we can think. All right? Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, that hope in his mercy. When we realize how dependent we are on him, then we realize our only hope is in the mercy of God. If he is not moving for us, there is nothing we can do to hold him accountable.
Yes.
There's not one thing I can do before the Lord to hold him accountable. Right. It is his mercy that allows me to have access to him, that sent his son to pay the path for me to have access to him and to his power in my life. All right? Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them, fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death. The Lord does not change now that we've established that. There's something else we need to establish. So the Lord has decreed that people come before him hoping in his mercy. Here's what he will do. He will deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Say not Christ is in your desert, for we cannot believe it not. What is it that's keeping you from that place where God can do exactly what he always promised? Be willing to lay it down. Be willing to give it to the Lord. Because he will be faithful to you. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter. Second chapter, we're just talking about us here and saying in the fourth verse, to whom coming as unto a living stone, speaking of us coming unto him, all right, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. This is the answer because God chose it to be, and no one will ever change that. All right. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. God has chosen it this way. It will be this way to the end of this world. No matter what comes along, it makes it seem like times are different now than they were back then. Are they different than they were in our grandparents' time? Are they different than they were in our parents' time? They are different. Times are different. This is still the same thing. Amen. Jesus is established as a cornerstone, and he will be throughout all time. Cornerstone of our salvation. And any soul that will come to him can find what they need in Christ. All right? It says, Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Do you remember what Jesus said? If any man fall on this rock, he will be broken. All the walls come down. But if the rock falls on anyone, they will be crushed. This is our opportunity. This is all we have, okay, is in Christ. But it says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't want to try to sing this song for you. And I won't put my children on the spot here. But the song came to my mind. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. You have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life, brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 463 in our book. Says, oh, how sublime, how peaceful is the life of a Christian, filled with the glory of Jesus divine, deep in his bosom, deep in our bosom, he's joyfully conscious that he is born of a heavenly line. Once I was lost and a child of confusion, over mountains of folly I roamed, but at the cross I have entered the kingdom. Glory to Jesus, his love is enthroned. God is my father and Jesus my brother, since I'm adopted by heavenly love. I am an heir in the kingdom of glory and have a crown that is waiting above. I am a child of the king. I am a prince in the kingdom of love. I am a child of the king. I want to read some verses in Romans to you in closing here. Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 12th verse start. It says, Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. You try to do your own thing. You try to take it your own way. It's not going to work out. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, to trembling, to lack of satisfaction, to lack of peace in your life, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Again, we know, many of us, but Abba is a very personal cry of Father. It would be like us crying Daddy. You know, I don't know if I don't remember the last time I called my dad Daddy. But it might come out every once in a while if I'm not careful in situations. Why? Because it's a deeply personal thing to me. All right. That's what this cry is here to the Lord that we've been given. All right. It says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Thank the Lord. If so be, we suffer with him that we may also be glorified together. I am an heir in the kingdom of glory and have a crown that's waiting above. Thank the Lord.